I think we're there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There's no better Easter service to have than a service that's just like last week when it's just church. Amen. I don't mind formalities and I don't mind special days at all, as long as we do what we're doing right now and let God be in the place and have His way. I want to pause, and maybe we'll go over this at the end of service announcements, but our Sunday school department always has these drives at this time of the year, Save Our Children. And we have the, back when people carried a lot of change in their pockets, we could fill these up with quarters. It still works. You can put quarters in there. Most people just go to the kiosk back there and say, well, forget the quarters. I'm just going to give $1 million or whatever. I mean, it may not be a million. I'm just saying, just trying to pick a number there. But anyway, let's remember that this goes toward Sunday school, which is our children's camp, which is the greatest gateway that we've ever had for our young children going and receiving the Holy Ghost for the first time. Phenomenal place with a great atmosphere. And I know that your children would be changed forever getting in an atmosphere where it's all their age and hearing lessons and sermons directed right toward them. Amen. I would like to say again, of course, it's so good to have our guest with us today. It's always an honor. You took time to be here. And after service, if you're a first-time guest, we'd like to meet you in our hospitality room. It's on the right at the lobby as you're going out, just for a few minutes to say hello. And if you're in a hurry, understand that. I'm going to be here a while. So I've got all day. I've got a long, long sermon. You know, so I'm glad we're here. No. Please come back. Of course, being this Sunday, Easter Sunday, I have a message, of course, that is parallel with that. But it's still, I want God's will to be done, and I want Him to help us open our hearts and to go into His Word. Good to have all of you here. The Della Pennas, Mark and Marla, so good to have you all here with your kids today. Amen. I say that because they are from way back and enjoyed having them when they were here. Marla is Brother Cron's daughter, one of his daughters, and they just live right across over in Seattle, Washington. So they came further than you did to be here today. Amen. And so it's great to have them and all of you. It's so good. I'm going to go to John chapter 20, and I really, really wanted to have a brief text, but I cut out all I could, and I'm going to read John 1 through 18, and that's what stands between you and sitting down, is just these few scriptures. On the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth, cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we do not know where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and saw and believed. Now, by now, do you get that that other disciple is John, who's writing this? But instead of saying, I, he's just referring, well, he's that other disciple, kind of came a little bit late, and he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when he had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that your hand would be upon us today. Father, I ask your hand and your spirit to touch those, Lord, the hungry, the needy. Lord Jesus, the open heart, fill it today, Father, and let each one know there's a reception for them. Lord, that there is something in this for everyone. Those not baptized, Lord, let them realize and feel the urgency of being baptized in the name of Jesus. Those that have not been filled with your Spirit, let them feel that there is a need, an urgent need to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Lord, let that settle on this place. A divine order, we ask, Father, in the name above names. Let's give him a praise, shall we? Father, we give you praise, lifting up the name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you may be seated. I want to talk about, on this Easter Sunday, the year of 2018, I want to talk about a Sunday world. And we live in a Saturday world, but I'm thankful to be here on a Sunday and be worshiping God in a Sunday world. On Thursday, Jesus had a meal with his disciples. And it was that meal where he told John who the betrayer was, and he said, you know, the one I give the bread to, he's the one. And it was that betrayer who left early to arrange the mob to arrest Jesus. Friday saw the quick trial of Jesus and the beating and the crucifixion of him. Late in the afternoon, Jesus breathed his last breath and died much quicker than they would have thought. Then he was entombed, and everybody went home. And there is Friday. Everyone went home. Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate, he was a wealthy man, well-known, man of authority, can I have the body? They allowed him to take the body, and he put him in his tomb. And he didn't need it long. I don't know if he felt like that or not. Being a wealthy man, the tomb was most likely very large, large enough for a family. And they had areas, shelves cut into the rock. And I'm sure he felt like this would be the right thing to do because he knew there was something about that was different about this man. But on Saturday, nothing happened. One of the most monumental things that happened in the world since creation was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And on that day, after he was put into a tomb, Saturday, nothing happened. There's no scriptures. They refer to it as tomorrow. But nothing happened on Saturday. Sunday was the day of realization that he had risen. And he was alive. It was the day where the followers began to understand that the church would exist in power and demonstration. And they began to understand, those 12 disciples began to remember. I should say those 11. They had to get a replacement for Judas. He wasn't alive now. The 11 began to understand some of the things, began to make sense. Not all of it, but they started to put things together. Paul would later write in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4 and 5, And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Because Paul had already shifted into that aspect of power. The power that raised up Christ from the dead. The power that fell at Pentecost. Yes. He said, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's where our faith needs to be, right there. The wisdom of men can at best just explain scriptures that have already been written. But we must stand on the power of God. Without the power of God, we have no reason to be here today. Amen. But we know and we feel today what happens when you worship Him in spirit and in truth. His presence moves. He reciprocates with that worship that we give Him. Amen. Oh, I thank God. He's a giving God. And whenever we offer ourselves to Him, He gives back and His presence is felt. And I think that's a wonderful blessing. But even though we're here on a Sunday, we live in a Saturday world. I want to make a distinction there, of course. Saturday thinking is like the multitude of the Israelites saying, well, you know, at least we're not in Egypt anymore. You know, at least we're not there. That was bad. We were slaves and we're bound to chains and making bricks and finding straw to make the bricks and carrying bricks and putting bricks in the oven or putting them out to bake and having to assemble the bricks and make different size of bricks and carry them to the places where they were going to build the pyramids or whatever it might have been. We're all builders and makers of just bricks. That's all we do. And they knew what it was like to have somebody ruling over them, and so they were just thinking, well, you know, we're better than they were, or we're better now than we were then. But later, those same Israelites would turn back and say, well, I wish we were back in Egypt now. See, that's Saturday thinking. I don't like the way things are because we haven't received the blessing He said we would receive. We saw all the 10 plagues and God saved us out of them. But now nothing great is happening. And what has happened to this Moses? We don't know what's going on with him. And I think we should just get a delegation together and go back to Egypt when we had chains on and we made bricks and that's all we did. They killed our babies, but let's go back to Egypt. Saturday thinking causes us to go back and say, maybe I could just make my way back into that world because it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Saturday thinking, it runs against the thinking of the church. It goes against hope and faith. It was a Saturday world when nothing occurred. No headlines, no details at all. Saturday's about self-justification. At least I'm not as bad as my uncle. You know, he takes after his dad and as my grandpa. And I tell you, I'm not bad as him. Everybody's got somebody in your family like that. And you can always point to someone and say, well, you know, at least we're not like them. If we keep up that, what happens is after a while you're saying, well, you know, I'm not as bad as the devil. I mean, you're looking around and if we just keep stepping down, before long we're looking up at everybody saying, you know, them high and mighty people, they so self-righteous. When we're calling everybody self-righteous, be careful. We've already descended a little bit. Amen? I think we can see that path before and avoid it in time. But Saturday's where we succumb to the emptiness and the silence because Friday was so bad. And we don't ever want to see a Friday like that. Saturday makes us feel good about nothing because our nothing is better than that something that we saw. Saturday is that just accepting things as they are. Saying, you know, let's just make it the best way we know how. Let's make the best of a bad situation. And I know we're not spiritual and, you know, we're not like church folks. So if we can just live a good life and I've worked with people that made up doctrine on the fly. Seriously, just sit there and examine themselves and say, you know, I believe. And I've watched them. I've worked with them and I would try to impress upon them. It's not your righteousness, it's God's that we're trying to embrace. They would start talking about that, examine their life, and they would just basically describe their life and say, I think as long as you, and then they would describe everything they do. What they were doing is justifying themselves. That's Saturday thinking. Right. Nothingness. I don't have any boundaries to go by. All I know is yesterday was bad, tomorrow hopefully it's better, but right now I'm just going to say I'm good the way I am. Just leave me alone, please. Go sit down. That's Saturday thinking. Saturday's where nothing challenges our skewed reasoning. There's no throngs following Jesus, so we develop our own religious reasonings because He's not there anymore. He's not breaking bread and feeding thousands anymore. There's no lepers being healed. I don't see much going on, so I'm going to create my own thing, and then I'm going to worship it because that's Saturday thinking. But I'll tell you, Saturday thinking prevents Sunday's blessings. Amen. It does. It prevents Sunday's blessings. I enjoy Sundays here. I do. It just, you never know what is going to happen, but normally it's going to be very lively worship, and I just love that. Amen. There's times I'm just thinking, you know, maybe we should just keep on doing this right here. Check out my sermon and say, well, it's Easter. I better not. I guess I better do something. But this, I could just sing on and on. Just wonderful presence of the Lord. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Amen. But the difference, though, Saturday thinking, it's about stopping short just short of resurrection power. Because there was nothing happening on Saturday that was supernatural at all. It was all less than natural. They all sat and wondered, what was that all about? Mary Magdalene, he had cast 7 devils out of her, Jesus had. And he told the disciples, when a devil is cast out, he goes back and gets 7 more, 7 times worse than himself. And he comes back, and if he finds that house cleansed, the only one who can cleanse is the power of Jesus Christ. And he finds it cleansed, and if there's nothing put in there, then he will go back and taunt that person and torment them and move into that soul again. Now, we speculate that she heard knocks on her door all day Saturday. We can assume that there was a battle going on. And we can find that it's very easy to believe that she was the one at the tomb first thing. Our day ends at midnight, not their day. Their day ended at 6 in the morning. So when the Bible says, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, she knew what would truly be tomorrow. And she got right there on the edge of today, knowing that tomorrow, I hope something's going to be different. Yesterday was horrible, but Saturday is that way. There's nothing as bad as Saturday. But she stood right there, and when it began to dawn, when she could just see the sun, she realized, now this is tomorrow. It's a new day. Amen. And she goes up to the tomb, and guess what? The stone has been rolled back. The stone is not there anymore. Hallelujah. Where have you taken Jesus? That's what Sunday is all about. It's just saying, I don't know what's going on, but I know God's got it all in control right now. I don't know how I'm going to fix this mess, but God knows what He's going to do to fix the mess. Amen. I don't know how to turn it right side up, but it's in the hands of the Creator, and He knows top from bottom. So I'm just going to say, Lord, take care of my problem. All she knew was, I just got to get to the last place He ever was. You know, that's a good rule to live by, too. If your last blessing was right here, then come back this place and get another one. When I say blessing, I mean a spiritual visitation and demonstration from the Almighty God. Amen. The atmosphere that is in this place on Sundays is the right place to find salvation, to find strength, to be encouraged. There's a plan. Oh, God has a plan. Yes, He does. He's not just coming in here and, like, you know, when the kids years ago, when you grew up in affluence like I did, you know, summer fun had to do with a water hose. And you'd hope somebody could sit there and just spray the kids with the water hose. They'd run through it, and if they were too tired, they'd let us hook it up to the sprinkler, and that sprinkler, you just run back and forth over the sprinkler. It never was enough. It never was enough. You always wanted more. Amen. And we figured something out. We invented slip and slides. They came out with those rubber ones that the water comes out of. We've invented them right through our backyard. If you water a yard down enough, we found a way. And where there's a desire and a will, you'll find a way. Just trying to break free from the heat and the mundane boredom of summer. And next thing, we are sliding into tree roots and everything and rocks, and it don't matter, it's going to heal up a little bit and we'll put a Band-Aid on it, because we got to do something, because we just want to feel better. See, that's Sunday thinking. Lord, I don't know. I just need something. I just need Your power. I just need Your spirit. God is able. Amen. God is able. God is able. God is able. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. But Saturday thinking, it forgets about reaping and sowing. It just says, I don't like this. It doesn't look at the why. But Mary, as she came to that tomb, and there was an empty tomb and the stone rolled back. What have they done with my Savior? And she turns around to Jesus and says, Sir, can you tell me where you've laid Him? If you'll tell me, I don't know how big she was. I'm thinking she wasn't real big. But she goes, I will go and get Him and take care of Him. I will carry Him and I will bring Him back. Somebody has done the awful act of stealing a body. And He spoke her name, Mary, and she knew exactly who it was. See, that's coming out of Saturday into that Sunday mode of thinking, to where you can recognize the voice of God. When you can see your life and what's going on, and you have enough courage and conviction to say, God, I know you're talking to me. Lord, I know that you're not happy with the way I'm living, and you've been speaking my name, and instead of me just pushing it aside, I need to listen and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, here I am understanding I'm looking for a dead Christ, but I need a risen Savior, and now I see you. Now what must I do? Rather than trying to invent and turn things around to suit you, you need to say, God, what must I do to suit your plan for your kingdom right now? Jesus, help us today, Lord, that we can commit to you. Saturday forgets about all the reaping and the sowing. But I want to say the resurrection of Jesus Christ completely destroys Saturday thinking. It turns it away. Mary came to prepare the dead body, but there he is, talking to her and changing the course of her life, but also letting her know life in general of this earth is not ever going to be the same. In a Sunday world, our way of thinking is often turned on its head. Right. In a Sunday world, we can't use our human reasoning and weigh it all out, because then we start inventing the rules ourselves. And we look at our life and we take our pattern and say, well, this is the way I believe God expects me to live, rather than saying I must line up with something that he's giving me that is truly life indeed. Mm-hmm. It's real easy to justify our goodness, and we all have goodness. But we cannot make a religion out of our goodness. So please understand me. I'm not trying to be harsh and say you've got to apply yourself to something that's way out of your reach. All I'm saying is we need to say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Help me, God, to continue to be saved. What would you want me to do to change my life, to line up with what your demands or your wishes are for me? Because he does not want us to keep walking in that same path that got us into the last trouble. Right. Peter wept bitterly over his denial. Remember that? And Saturday was a day of grief for him, but Sunday was the day that Jesus mentioned him by name. He said, you go tell the disciples and Peter. It's the only one he mentioned. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Oh, John couldn't wait to go tell Peter that. Listen, Simon, guess what? Guess what? Your name is the one that he mentioned, the one that denied him three times. He denied the name. He denied knowing Jesus three times. And this is awful. When he said it the third time to that little lady, he said, I'm sorry. And he said a curse word, the Bible said. And he really tried to put a seal on it. I know nothing about him. The earth was silent while the rooster crowed the second time. Just as Jesus said, the rooster crowed. He heard the rooster. That rooster, poor thing, it had no idea that it was involved in the story. It was just doing what roosters do. But Simon was just doing what we all do. Under pressure, we're going to be who we are. Oh, he didn't have anything divine about him. He walked with Jesus. He felt the presence of him. He saw what he did. But he didn't have anything inside to change him. See, the absence, the burial, Saturday thinking reveals who we really are. In a Saturday world that we live in, it reveals what we really are about on the inside. You go to work on Monday, it's a Saturday world, folks. Amen. Are y'all having communion on your job when you get there Monday? No, not hardly. Nothing spiritual? No, prayer meetings at the job, sometimes you might. Most of my prayer meetings, I could say 100% of them on my job was me by myself. Amen. They were pretty good. Amen. When you're having to pray at work, you're usually got a pressing need. But I'll tell you, God can answer those pressing needs. I've prayed in elevators. Amen. I've looked and watched it go down and hope nobody opened it, because I needed to finish what I was saying to God in an elevator shaft, saying, Lord, you know, God, what my need is, and you can help me. Ding, it opens up, and I stand there. How you doing? Not one time did anybody walk in and go, ooh, what's that I feel? Desperation like that usually has about, 50% chance of faith, because you're hoping. When you get to where you're praying in stairwells and elevators and those sort of things, and the lobby right outside the boss's office, that's where you're really leaning in a lot to the wind. Lord, please, you got to help me. I wish I'd have done this before, but I'm really hoping you hear me now. We live in a Saturday world, y'all. Emptiness, nothingness. Some people are okay with that. Some Sunday thinking embraces elements of Saturday. You know, they're not completely on board with the identity, but the problem is their reaping is Saturday flavored. It's kind of earthly reaping, and we will do good if we continue to press towards any mark, really. You can be on the boss's, you know, top five list. You can get a star. You can get a raise. But if it's not God's will, if you're not serving God in spirit and in truth, it's not going to have any bearing, because this is a Saturday world. Lord, help us today. It causes a hybrid response. You know, you see normal earthly things and label them as spiritual and God ordained. And with that, you start blessing yourself, because there was a blessing. There was something that happened, and it was in a good way. And if you're still kind of one foot in Saturday, and you still got that Saturday mentality, but you have a little something good that happens, then you anoint yourself and say, I'm perfect the way I am. I'm doing it all. Oh, we've got to get out of Saturday thinking and get into Sunday and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do for my own soul, God? How can I rise to that place where you can use me? 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Yes. Christ, the first fruits of them that slept. Look at this now. That life in him is the Holy Spirit that lives in believers today. Yeah. That life in him. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You don't have to live in fear anymore, because he conquered that. Yes. Amen. He took over. He took care of that. You don't have to struggle with sin anymore, because he conquered all sin. Yes. Hold it. That first one is pretty easy to say. Live in fear. You know, I have a little bit of fear, but I'm getting a hold of it. But I know he conquered fear. But struggle with sin? Preacher, you're telling me I shouldn't struggle with sin? Well, I just want to tell you that there's an incremental ascension in living for God. That he gives you the ability to overcome the things that are overcoming you. Amen. He will give you the power that you can be an overcomer. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Living above where you could on your own. Because it leads you and it guides you into all truth. It leads you to levels that you're not at right now. You can't get there without the Holy Ghost. If you could, there wouldn't be a need for it. It would be confusion. But what the Lord is saying is, let me get involved in your life. Let me be a part of your problem and part of your solution. And then you can glorify me the way that you're living your life. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise, shall we? Thank you, Lord. No, you don't have to pretend for one more day. This life in Christ is real and has power to set you free for good. That's Easter. And I'm thinking that a lot of churches that celebrated Easter today may not have talked about it in this angle, because there's so many different angles. But truly, when he rose again and he anointed rabbits, bunnies, and eggs. We were talking about this yesterday. We were driving and said at home, I don't remember. My wife and I were saying, it's funny that it has to do with bunnies and eggs. And as a child, I had no problem with that. We colored eggs, dipped them, and did all, and I loved it. And I think I was talking actually to Jared about this, not convincing him of it, we were just discussing it. Rabbits and eggs. And the Easter bunny. And if there was, you know, in bunny world, if there really was like some king of all the rabbits, he'd be going, what in the world? What does that have to do with us? We do not lay eggs. I didn't know that as a kid, but I didn't care, because it was about candy. Easter was about new clothes. One Easter, it was about wearing white shoes to church. I'm embarrassed to tell you that. Woke up looking forward to those white shoes. I probably wore them after Labor Day too, because I wasn't that stylish. Saturday thinking, the Israelites said, we're not able to take that land. There's giants in that land. That one event right there, 12 spies were sent. Joshua and Caleb returned with a good report. We are well able. Because they were looking at what was across the Jordan and looking back to what God did yesterday. Yes. They were looking 3 months back at the plagues at the Red Sea crossing and gathering that together, and they spoke words of Sunday and hope and said, we are well able. The other 10, they came back as if they never had been in Egypt before, as if they had never been delivered from Pharaoh and his army before, as if they were not under the cloud with walls of water on both sides of them. Picture in your mind, this is what Sunday thinking is about. They went across on dry ground, but they had a wall of water on both sides and a cloud of water above them. They were surrounded by water. They were baptized, the Bible said, in the cloud and in the sea. They were baptized. They were protected by baptism. And so both of them, Joshua and Caleb, looked back and said, oh, that God is able to do that. There are giants in the land. There are impossibilities. But Saturday says, hey, they're bigger than us. Let's just go back and throw in the towel. But the Sunday thinking was Joshua and Caleb that said, we are well able to overtake them. Look at what our God has done to this point. He's a mighty God. We're well able to go across there and overtake them. We can do it today if you want to go today. But the crowd, the thousands, the 2 to 3 million Israelites, they listened to the voice of 10 rather than 2 believers. Same world we live in today. And they said, oh, we can't do that. We're ready to stay right here. Let us stay right here. And some even tried to turn and go back to Egypt, of all places. They said, no, we'd rather die than go over there. They said to Moses, we would rather die here than go over there, because they said that we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes and like grasshoppers in their eyes. In other words, now they're speaking on behalf of people they've never met or talked to. Yeah. They're putting words in their mouth, words of defeat, saying, yeah, they're well able to overtake us. Joshua and Caleb, the only two that made it across 40 years later, because Jesus says, here's your thing. All of you over 20 years of age, or 20 and over, you're dying here because you said we'd rather die. You're going to die. I was thinking the other day, there's a point where there was one left. There had to be a point where there was one left. And he's going, I'm still alive. Healthy. You know he was eating all good food, all good manna. Exercising, trying to get his rest, wasn't crossing with anybody because he's thinking, I think I'm just going to get by. What he didn't know, that was the word of God. Bud, if Joshua said, tomorrow we're crossing, guess how many days you got left? 0. There had to be that one more. Wouldn't be a sermon to preach, but at least I was thinking about it. Because the Word of God is forever settled. That's what Sunday says. But somebody, that last one, had that Saturday mentality of, I'll make it. You know, who knows, that was 40 years ago that the Lord spoke that. But when they did, when that last one died, Joshua said, we can go over there now and take the land, and they took the land. You have to have a Sunday mentality. Simply this, not nothing different about this day than others, but from the Bible history, Sunday was Resurrection Day. Sunday was the day that Jesus rose again. Sunday was Resurrection Day. Well, it's also 50 days later. You realize it was also Sunday. Whenever they were in that upper room, they'd been there 10 days, give or take a few. And they were waiting on the promise that the Lord had said would come. And it said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together. One mind and one accord in that upper room. And as they were in that upper room, the Holy Ghost filled that place where they were just sitting. They had been worshiping God. They had been reading. They had been exhorting each other. But when that day, 50 days after Resurrection Sunday, was Pentecost Sunday, and the Holy Ghost came down and filled them. 120 began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Saturday thinking is like a wind that blows, and it blows into the church and out of the church. And Saturday thinking has blown into the church, and it has a voice because wind has a sound. As Jesus told Nicodemus, you hear the sound, you hear the wind blow, it blows where it desires, and you hear the sound of it. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Wind makes a sound. That's how you know wind is coming. And the wind has blew into the church, and the voice of that contrary wind said, this is much later. You know, they weren't speaking in a tongue. They were speaking languages because, you know, these people came from other parts of the world, and they were speaking their own language to others, and they wasn't like a... That's what Saturday does. It waters it down and tries to make everyone think, it's all right. There's a cheaper doctrine that doesn't demand anything from you. Much easier. That's Saturday's doctrine. Saturday says, we've come up with a better plan. Let's go back to Egypt. That's Lord, that's Saturday. Don't let us get hung up on that. Saturday we deal with our failures, and Sunday's about leaving our old nature. It's about becoming better. Saturday is those rebelling, but Sunday's about those rebels that turned their life around to God, and God touched them and filled them with the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. We live in a world with the promise of the Sunday blessing. Amen. Can we stand? Musicians, come. Thank you, Jesus. I will tell you that the presence of the Lord that has been in here, it's not something that comes in as an act, you know, and it does its part and then leaves and goes into the green room, and we don't have a green room, but you know what I mean, a rest area, preparation area. No, God inhabits praise. But there's something else that God responds to. He always responds to needs. He always responds to needs. These Pharisaical leaders went and grabbed a woman that they knew. If you think about this really clearly, really deeply, some of them probably were as guilty as she was. And they dragged that woman, they drug her to Jesus. Shoved her in their midst. They said, we caught her in the very act. Now, tell me, what are you going to do? Saturday, judgmental, angry. Prove it. Prove it. That's Saturday thinking. But Jesus, who had a plan, who had already had a plan, the Bible says, from before the foundation of the world, the plan was, he's going to get out of a tomb on a Sunday morning. Yes. That Jesus. Before that happened, but his plan was already there from the foundation of the world, said, all right, let the one of you, they're already getting ready to raise their hand. Let the one of you that is without sin go ahead and cast the first stone at her. They all had rocks. You know what was bad about that? It was dads and it was their sons. From the oldest, it said, to the youngest. Somebody's son was there. Dad was trying to show him, here's how we handle business around here. Oh, that Saturday thinking. I'll tell you, if I've got an issue, I don't want to hand it down to somebody else. I want to turn it over to him right now. Right now. We have a Savior right now that's able to set a captive free. I'm not a captive. Wait a minute. You very well may be. Your thinking is circular and you can't get out of a rut that you're in. If it seems lately your thoughts have been more and more downward, wouldn't want to admit this, but I kind of even thought about ending it. Shocking? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the lonely heart, the grieving one, the one that has the smile, but Saturday has been in your midst for too long. You've had that Saturday thinking, oh God, is there a way out of this? I go to somebody for help and they just pull me down more and try to tell me everybody's that way. I didn't know that. I want to tell you, everybody's not that way. Those who He has redeemed by His Spirit. Those that He has filled with His Spirit. I want to tell you, He is able. And on a very non-starchy Easter service, I want to tell you, this is your opportunity to let God into your world. Can we do that? Those of you that would like to, we're not putting anybody under pressure. Gather to the front with us, or you can stand right where you are. We want you to feel that this is a Sunday church. Oh Lord, no shred of Saturday here. No emptiness. No darkness. No, not making excuses for my failures, Lord. This is a day where I look boldly at my Savior and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Oh, he would say what Peter said to them on that day of Pentecost. They said, sir, what must we do? And he said, you must repent. That means just turn away from your sins. Say, God, forgive me for these sins I've got in my life. Not holding anything back. Forgive me. Wipe them away, God. Repent and be baptized, or be willing that you know you will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the taking away and remission of those sins. He said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that day 5,000 were filled with the Holy Ghost besides those 120. Oh, as they began to speak in a tongue only given to them by the Spirit that came on that Sunday. Oh, that kind of thinking says, not me, Lord, but you. I don't have to embrace it or understand it completely, but you've got this in your hands right now. I wonder everywhere if we could just in some way lift our hands if you're comfortable with that. Or let's talk to the Lord, shall we? He's a healer. Our God is a healer. He is a way maker. He has the plan for your life, for your family right now. Almighty God, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that your blessings would blow into this place. Let your blessings fall upon us, oh God. Your kingdom, your glory, your power, it is yours. Lord, it is yours. It is yours. Almighty God. Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. If our ministers come and pray for you.